Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast, an exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hello, welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
129. What happened to harmonizing? We did so good last episode.
I was harmonizing. Is that not what harmonizing is?
Sounded like Kermit the Frog trying to harmonize.
Also, we are on chapter 18. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. You know what this means?
It feels surreal.
We're on the final chapter of the book.
Final chapter of the Bhagavad Gita.
My name is Shama Sangeeta. Oh.
If you don't know it by now, my name is Priyadarshini.
And my name is Shamali, and we are the Modern Yogi Podcast.
Wow.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
This is wild. Just a shout out to our producer who has produced every single one of these episodes and put in tireless work. Thank you, Abhijit, so
much. Thank you so much.
For everything
couldn't have done
that
it
you
without
do.
You.
We literally, really could not have.
Literally.
We would just be talking in a room into the void and that's it.
One would ever hear these conversations.
Yes.
Literally.
So thank you for your wonderful service.
And thank you to the listeners. If you have stuck with us till now, thank you.
Abhijit?
Yeah. The producer's note. I just wanted to mention for the listeners and the viewers that when this podcast was first becoming a thing and the idea came about, the idea was that all three of you would gather around an iPhone and do this for hours and hours in front of one iPhone.
One iPhone, yeah.
It was just... That was too disturbing to me, the thought. So I had to help.
His engineer brain was like, I cannot let this happen.
Yes. Yeah.
It was great. I mean, you honestly saved us from what could have been a 3-episode podcast that was never going to continue on.
Yeah.
Because this became a whole production that has been so fulfilling and engaging for us and such a wonderful service. So thank you, because you're a huge part of it. I also want to thank our other producer, our video producer, Ella.
Ella.
Because without her, it also wouldn't be and have reached so many people as it has.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies.
Yeah. And Abhijit, like, because of this audio quality, and I just think, we get messages about this, like, so many people around the world hear this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, because you put it on all of the different platforms and it goes out to so many people and it's so crystal clear and crisp. Yeah. And like everywhere from Taiwan to Kazakhstan, people are listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Which is so wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Die. Nice.
Now I guess we start this final chapter.
Chapter 18. Yeah. Ladies,
you said something about the interesting numerology, right, of chapter 18.
Well, numerology of 18 is a 9, which is a spiritual number on its own. So we were just talking about that beforehand.
And this is episode 129. And what's it called? If we add 2 and 1, it becomes 3. And 3 plus 9 is 129 again. I don't know what that means.
Wait, what?
I didn't follow that at all.
I really was trying. Wait, say that all again?
Can I say it again? So we're on episode 129, right?
Uh-huh.
I feel laughing at that.
So 1 plus 2 is 3.
3 plus 9 is 129 again. Does that normally happen in numbers?
Oh.
Does that normally happen?
Because where is the 9 coming from? I'm slow right now.
And you know what? Chapter 18 is a great chapter.
Maybe we'll take this offline and then we'll bring it back up.
Yeah, because this is cool.
Okay.
1 plus 2 is 3. 3 plus 9 is 12.
Yeah.
So where is the 129?
No. You isolate the 9 and you just add these two. I'm going to think about this.
You know,
we've never
claimed to be experts on numerology. So we're going to take this offline. So we're going to take this offline with Shamalane.
I like it.
We're going to go from there. Everyone want to do a quick recap on chapter 17?
Oh, chapter 17 was talking all about faith and what does faith look like in action. So it looks like sacrifice and,
austerity and penance and
simplicity.
Charity.
There was a lot of factors in what faith, like what composes faith, right? How we build our faith, whether we are born with faith or we build faith and all of that. So if you want to check it out, just, you can go back.
And also like the modes of nature as well, and how they affect the things that we eat, the faith that we have. Like so much of our life is governed by these modes. And so getting us to the highest stage, the mode of goodness and the purification of the mode of goodness is like where we need to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this chapter 18 that we're about to start, I'm going to read the purport, the first line of the purport, even though we haven't started yet. And Prabhupada says it firmly. He says, actually, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, or the Bhagavad Gita is finished in the 17 chapters.
Well, we're done, ladies.
So bye. Have a good night. See you next time. Bye.
No, I'm joking.
No, but so the 18th chapter is actually the conclusion. So we're going to see all of the main themes that we saw throughout the book and just remember them again, which I think is really important and helpful considering it's taking us 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
To read the whole book. So I think it's really good to get a refresher and get all the key points here. And we're excited to do it with you guys.
Yeah. It's a supplementary summarization of the topics that have been discussed in chapters 1 to 17. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's an addition.
Okay. All right. All right. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Gyana Timirandasya. Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Chapter 18, conclusion, hyphen, the perfection of renunciation.
I almost feel like this has gravity. We talked about gravity in the last.
Oh, yeah. This is serious food for thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation and of the renounced order of life. O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Okay. I'm surprised by that question.
Many commentators on this chapter say that it's very interesting at the start of this final chapter that Arjuna asks this question, and they say it might be puzzling in both content and context. Content, because he inquires about two things that sound similar, sannyas and tyaga.
Tyaga is renunciation.
Right, and they sound similar, like, okay. And then context, because this question has no link with the previous verses that we've done. The two terms don't come up in the entire previous chapter. So where is this coming from, Arjuna? What's happening? Why did you feel puzzled by this?
Well, I definitely felt that it wasn't connected. I mean, if I want to try to connect it, I could say that we were talking about sacrifice and different, what's another word for sacrifice? What's another word that we use a lot in the
penance,
last chapters?
Charity, austerity.
Yeah, like penance and all of that. And all of those things come with the idea of renunciation and even the renounced order of life. Because when we think about, and I, you know, we haven't gotten to this yet, but the, you know, I'm sure this is what it's going to, but the renounced order of life, sannyas, is basically giving up these things in perfect, with the perfect understanding of focusing your whole life in Krishna, right? Like that's right. The sannyas mood. Everything you're doing is for Krishna. Therefore, there is full control, or like at least great control of the mind, if not full control of the mind, full control of speech, full control of all the things that we discussed previously, which were talked about faith, right? So in order to be a sannyas, your faith has to be really strong and steady. So I can see how maybe, but it is pretty random.
What if you think about it in like, what if we think about it in the context of this war, right? So Arjuna was really scared at the beginning. He didn't want to kill anybody. Then we worked through that, right? Like it was like therapy. Like we worked through that issue. And then we worked through like bhakti yoga. We worked through all the yogas and we worked through, and then he saw the universal form, and the universal form is like, I've already killed all these people. So like, and he was like, oh my God, Krishna's God. So we work through a lot of things. And now I think that Arjuna is kind of thinking like, okay, so I already know the outcome of this war, but what happens next? Like, what am I supposed to do next?
But I mean, what faith does he have that he will live? So why would he think about renunciation?
No, didn't Krishna already promise Arjuna that he was going to live? Because
I mean, not in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, I mean, during the universal form, like he saw all the people that were already going to die.
Right, he saw the
he had visions of that.
I understand
right?
what you're saying.
So now he's kind of being like, okay, what happens next? Like, I know you showed me how the war is going to end, but like, what's the final chapter look like for me?
That's an excellent point, Shama, that
interesting.
By looking at the whole overall context of the Gita is how we can comprehend the context of now this question of Arjuna. Because exactly as you said, we've covered so many different things. At the start of the Gita, we just started off with Arjuna being torn between the two options, to fight and become entangled in bad karma of killing relatives, or renounce, run to the forest, and fail in my duty as a Kshatriya. That was our dilemma in the beginning. Then Krishna offered him a middle way by saying, fight as a duty without attachment to the results. We saw all about that in chapter two. Then Krina. Oh my God. Oh,
Krina. Our good Lord, Krina Christ.
I don't know what just happened. Then Krishna, he reinforced that theme of detachment in engagement from different perspectives. We went over the karma yoga perspective in the first six chapters, then the bhakti yoga perspective in the next six chapters. Then Arjuna's question suggests now that he wants to understand the theme from the Jnana Yoga perspective, which was presented in chapters 13 to 17. He wants to know, okay, with all this that's been said, now I have some lingering things to resolve internally. So
yeah, what happens after the war? What happens after the war?
That's super interesting perspective. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see what Prabhupada and Krishna say. Do you still want to do the purport or?
Yeah, why don't we do the purport is very good because it goes into a little bit more detail on just all of the previous chapters we've done up until now.
Should we all do a paragraph? I can start.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters, as we mentioned. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summary of the topics discussed before. Hmm. In every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service, onto the Supreme Lord is the ultimate goal of life. Hmm. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is best. Then in the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. So I guess he's all three of them, Om Tat Sat. Mm-hmm. All right. The third part of the Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra and the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service. For the Lord himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra. He is the knower and he is the knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Vedas, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Nice.
Wow.
Beautiful.
As in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also the summary of all instructions is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of life, sannyas. Thus, he is asking the meaning of these two words.
Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Hrishikesh and Keshi Nishudana, are significant. Hrishikesh is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet, he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons.
Whoa.
He therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. Keshi was the most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt.
You know, Priya, I also said woe internally the first time I read the doubt part, but then I thought, ah, but it's not saying we're not going to have them. Even Arjuna is having his doubts, but it's what we do with them. He's inviting Krishna into them to destroy them. Like,
yeah,
it's
natural. I don't think doubt is a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think doubt is good.
Yeah. Also, your Sanskrit is very good. It is better than your English.
That was great. Thanks. That was hilarious.
It was very good.
It's okay.
That's very funny. So it's interesting the way I think we can add on thoughts, because this kind of gave a whole overall overview of many different things. And I think Krishna immediately, while Arjuna's initial question might be puzzling, Krishna immediately gets the technical sense that Arjuna's using the two terms. And he explains the two different meanings, sannyas referring to the external renunciation, that order where one gives up our worldly duties, and tyaga refers to the more internal detachment from the results of our work.
Yeah, I think that's going to be touched in text too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
This first verse is basically Arjuna being like, okay, so what now? Like, what happens now?
Yeah.
And then Krishna answers.
Okay. So do you want to say anything else, Shyamali? Do you want to add?
No.
Okay. Text 2, Shyama Sangeeta.
All right. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, or sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise men call renunciation. Tyaga.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is this like spiritual retirement, essentially? The giving up on activities that are based on material desire is what great men call renounced order of life.
If anything, it's material retirement. You're retiring from all things material.
Ooh, touche. Touche, fancy. Okay.
So that's interesting, because at first glance, they both can be chalked up to the generic meaning of giving up, big brushstrokes.
Mm-hmm.
But one is in the external realm and one is internally.
Yeah. I have a one-line summary of it.
Go ahead. Of text 2.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
True renunciation means giving up selfish motives, not duties.
Giving up selfish motives and not duties.
So like we continue with our duty. What is our duty? Continue our bhakti yoga practice, continue nourishing our bodies, like all the things that are necessities, but we don't do things that are selfish. So like greedy desires.
Mm-hmm. We're not chasing anything anymore.
Yes.
We're not trying to climb any corporate ladders.
Yeah.
So you said material retirement.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Material retirement.
I like that. Yeah.
Cool.
And is it possible to do that earlier, or do you have to be, I guess you have to be of a certain age, because this is not about chasing anything anymore. And it's hard to materially renounce when you're like middle age, because you have a family to support and things to do.
There definitely are exceptions. I think there's been younger kids or people, like there's a book written by a devotee woman, young woman, who passed away. But before she passed away, she had a lot of realizations about spiritual life and Krishna consciousness.
Mohini?
I think it was, right? And so that's kind of an example of someone who kind of...
But did she know she was passing away?
Yes.
She's the one that had muscle dystrophy you're talking about. Yeah.
So there's certain exceptions, but for the most part, I think...
But it correlates
a gradual progress.
Yeah. It correlates to when you know you're going to pass away soon.
You think so?
I think it's like either you
what
have,
is the question though? What are you?
It's
are
like, you? It's like, this,
does it take
when, what, when does sannyas happen?
Oh,
well, specifically. So if you're talking sannyas specifically, it's very, most people never become sannyasis, because a sannyasi is someone who is literally given up everything and is traveling around the world to preach and do that. So in terms of the designation, right? That's that order. Most people become vanaprastas, which is just like that retirement that we're talking about, that material retirement. You're of elder age, and then you're doing a lot of service, and you still have your children, and you still have blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha.
Most people don't become sannyasis, but I think you were just asking, can you quote unquote retire early?
That's right. That's my question, materially and spiritually.
I think to answer, it's all about where we are at. Because, okay, if someone technically has, let's just hypothetically, they have the economic means to retire when they're in their 20s, 30s, and they could just live a whole life in this renounced state, are they actually consciousness wise ready to just solely focus in on spiritual life, or that would just be an escapism? Like let's call it as it is, what's happening here, you know? Mm-hmm. So many times I think if we have the means to retire, quote unquote, how am I saying this? Cause I've seen examples of, like, we actually talked about this recently in one of the sage group meetings with my mom, where one man who has two young children, he jokingly was like, when can I just finally run away to the forest and just live in Vrindavan? He's like overwhelmed with stuff. And then another older guy from the group said, you know, this is the first time in my life that, like, I'm transitioning jobs. I sold my business. My father passed away. I have no responsibilities and I couldn't tell you how lost I feel. So it's something that you will be ready internally when you get there. It's not a false renunciation. You can't rush it. No.
Yeah. But I think I totally get what you're saying. I think her question was more along the lines of, are there people, or is there an opportunity to retire early? Not financially. We're not talking about that, but more so about having that deeper understanding of what bhakti yoga is and being willing and ready to actually give all these things up before you're 60 or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I'm giving examples to say. It's about where you're at. Cause let's look at someone like Keshav Swami, who is incredibly advanced, but he did take the route. But once upon a time, before being Keshav Swami, he was a kid who gave it all up and moved into the ashram and lived that life and then just climbed up the ladder. So if that's something that you could do.
And he went to sannyashood.
Are you wanting to go to sannyashood?
I know, but he did it early.
Yeah,
he did it
early. He's one of the younger ones.
Yeah. So, and he was absolutely ready. But someone else might do the same, but if they're not ready, they'll be lost and it will squash their spiritual progress because they'll just be floating and then the mind takes over and you're not ready.
It almost sounds like, this is controversial, but it almost sounds like it's predetermined. Like, like Keshava Swami was always going to be Keshava Swami.
Ooh.
Like in this lifetime, the fact that I am, one, a woman, two, married, and that I might want to have a family means that sannyas is not likely in my path. Because there's already—
not anytime soon.
Well, no, but like that level of renunciation when you're a mother is rare. Like that's, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right.
You can do anything you put your mind to.
Thank you.
I believe in you.
Thank you so much.
I get what you're saying. I don't know. I think the answer could be nuanced because, like we read in all the previous chapters, but it's a good discussion point because, like, yeah, I could think of so many examples that it's like, yeah, I know so many people that are so renounced, Mother Chandravali, that she's dealing with so much around her. And she's a saintly woman. So there it becomes a matter of what's happening internally. But yeah, we're dealt the cards that we're dealt with. But at the same time, we read like in the previous chapter, like on faith, that depending on, we're constantly kind of with our faith in association with the modes of action, the modes of material nature, with the actions we do, we're determining our level of faith moving forward. So I don't think we should write it out of the question that something could change completely.
You know? I think mercy is a factor.
Yeah.
But I think karmically we also have—
that's huge. Yeah. Yeah. We have a nature. We come in with the whole thing. Yeah.
A lot of things that are a huge factor as well. So that's interesting. Yeah.
I think you have both. You have all aspects going.
Yeah. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
I believe in you both.
Okay. Thank you.
Watch Shama becomes a sannyasi.
He'll be squandering away in material life and Shama will be like, it's okay.
It's okay, my child.
The least likely out of the three of us.
No.
That's so funny. Okay. Text number three. Shamali.
Oh, yes. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned. Okay, right. Shining light on. There is sometimes in the Vedas, there might seem to be contradicting opinions. What do we do?
Yeah. The short version of that is some reject all action, but sacrifice, charity, and penance must remain.
So if you're going into spiritual retirement, some people are like, okay, you have to give up everything.
Right.
But then some other people are like, nope, charity, sacrifice, and penance, regardless of where you are on the lifetime of life, that always needs to happen. Those
amazing. That was such a great way to say it, like in short.
Hi-oh. Oh, that's really helpful.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that was great. Okay.
So it's like controversy. So is Christian going to tell us which one's right? Oh, no. Yeah, he is. Actually, he is. I
love when you like go next to the next one. It's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. He's telling us what the right answer is. Oh, thank God. By the way, it's like an open book test.
It is. We're being quizzed on the chapter, the cumulative summary.
Yeah.
Chapter 18 can be chunked up into different topics. And just FYI, 1 through 12 is karma yoga. So essentially how by performing karma yoga, one can stay free from bondage. So that's how you would cluster these. And then we'll get to the next section.
Okay, but cool.
1 through 12 fall under karma yoga.
That makes sense because the text 2 was saying giving up activities that are based on material desires. And this one is also saying, you know, giving up fruitive activities should be given up, but then sacrifice and all of that should be continued. So it makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, and I had written the one sentence summary on Arjuna's 18th chapter question that started this all out. He's basically, but we talked about it. He's seeking to understand the technical difference between outer renunciation of action and inner renunciation of attachment to fruits from the Jnana Yoga perspective.
Okay. And we will continue to explore that, yeah?
Nice.
Okay.
Text 4, Priyadarshini.
O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds.
So he's answering.
No, he hasn't answered yet. He's like, now I'm going to tell you my answer.
Krishna's
and
talking.
Then, yeah. Krishna's like, Arjuna, I'm going to tell you my answer. And then he says something really sexy. He goes, oh, tiger of men. Oh, tiger among men. Because that's a really nice compliment for a man to give another man.
I guess that's true.
If a man calls another man, oh, tiger among men, it's a very big compliment.
Like, how would you feel, Priya, if your husband called someone else, oh, tiger among men?
I don't know.
Right? That means that Abhijit really respects that man.
I guess so. Yeah. If he said it about like a spiritual master, like he's a tiger amongst men, I'd be like, yeah, that's powerful.
He said it about a friend, that would be interesting.
He would probably very much like that friend.
Yep.
Very much like. Trying to hint at something I don't know.
I'm just imagining if I heard that, I'd be like, what is your dynamic with this person? This is totally off tangent.
No. He loves that friend.
I have no doubts of his mental stance on people. I don't know if that makes any sense. Anyway,
so Krishna's like, okay, Arjuna, here I'm going to tell you my answer. And there's three kinds of renunciation. And then what are they? He doesn't tell us that.
Not yet. Let me break it up into another text.
All right. So text number 5. Krishna says, acts of service. Oh, sorry. I already messed it up. Krishna says, text number 5, chapter 18. Krishna says, acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the greatest souls.
Ooh.
Okay.
So remember all that stuff we talked about in the last chapter 17, about like waking up early, doing your rounds, offering things, donating things, like making sure to control all your senses, all of those things, sacrifice, charity, and penance. You have to do that until the day you die, no matter where you are in your life, no matter if you're taking sannyas or not, et cetera, et cetera. You always have to do those things.
That's really good. Also, if you look at if you generalize them, the sentence that you can pull out of this text would be selfless acts purify and should never be abandoned.
Beautiful.
Right? Because all of these things are selfless acts, right? Yeah, you're sacrificing, you're doing charity, all of these. And what they do is they clean your heart and they, you know, help you move forward.
Selfless acts should never be.
Selfless acts purify. And should never be abandoned.
Never be abandoned.
Yeah, it's like selfless acts of service. It's an act of love. And that's what bhakti is, softening the heart. There was like a little bumper sticker quote that I saw that said, restraint and renunciation are routes to detachment, but bhakti is the fuel. So restraint and renunciation are the routes to detachment, but bhakti is the fuel.
Yeah, like self-control and giving up, you know, results.
Mm-hmm.
Is the
route to detachment. So we need to detach ourselves from this world, but we can't just end there. Okay, detach, great. Then what's next? Right. Bhakti. Bhakti is the
relationship
fuel.
The fuel with to get Krishna. Us there.
It's like the concept of, we've talked about the higher taste, so we can't just give up things. Okay, then what?
We're just floating. Like existence.
Yeah.
That relationship with Krishna will get us to the destination.
Yeah.
Yep.
beautiful.
Oh,
okay. Lovely.
Text
six?
Six? We're going so fast.
I know. Shamli.
Oh, wow. Okay. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pritha. That is my final opinion.
Ooh, one more time.
All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty. O son of Pritha, that is my final opinion.
Very nice. Oh, here's that word duty that comes back up again.
Yeah. It's okay. We can learn to love it.
Yeah. Duty is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Duty with like love is the best thing.
It's the better.
Oh my God. So absolutely. Good though. Yeah.
As Hispanics, we need the love in there too.
Yeah. So how would you explain this text to a kid? Either one of you.
Do what you got to do without being attached. That is the perfect path.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just to tie it back to the last one is like charity, sacrifice, penance. And also tie it back to chapter 17 is like, don't ever do it begrudgingly or like with some sort of expectation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This to be done because it is your duty, and your duty is to love Krishna in this life.
Yeah. There's,
yeah. Nothing else will give you that satisfaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause really, like we said before, the more you try to enjoy this world, it's counterintuitive, but the more you're going to be dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. That's not the goal.
I love that Krishna says, that is my final opinion.
I know. Such a boss. Like, that's my final opinion. Mic drop. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Text 7, Priya.
Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance.
Okay. Okay.
Makes
so
sense.
We were talking about renunciation earlier, but we shouldn't falsely renounce things. We can't just give up. We have to live. You know, bhakti is one of the few philosophies that really gives us a map on how to achieve that with one foot in each realm. It's not like many maybe pseudo spiritual paths talk about, well, you know, we're not of this world anyway, so just give it all up. But then we're just floating. So this is a beautiful balance between, okay, life is hard, but I gotta
keep doing.
Yeah, head down, trudge through my duty, and then simultaneously cultivate that internal world while I'm being put through these different tests and situations and encounters that ultimately help me grow. Life is happening for me, not to me.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says, it is said that a person in a renounced order of life should not cook for himself. Cooking for oneself is prohibited, but cooking for the Supreme Lord is not prohibited. So having all of our actions dedicated to Krishna, that is the mood.
When you're in the renounced order of life.
Shama, yes. More and okay. More is like, this renounced order is sounding great. Let's talk about sannyasa again. I can't cook for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, it's the intention, right? If you're cooking for Krishna.
It's Krishna is your whole world. Yeah. So it's everything is for Krishna. Yeah. What do you guys think of this idea? So based on this text, what do you think of the idea of giving up action entirely is ignorance, not wisdom?
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because here it's saying you still got to do action.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You still got to do your duties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Krishna says prescribed duties should never be renounced. So everything that you still have to do, you still have to do. There's never, ever a concept of like going to the Himalayas and dropping everything.
Right.
There's just, Krishna will never sign off on that.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think at least once, at some point in life, everyone will feel like it's so much easier just to give up. Life gets hard.
Oh,
but that's giving up. That's not enlightenment. That's crumbling under the weight of life.
Yeah. Also, I think it's one of those, the grass is always greener, right? Like you think, if I just don't have to do anything, I will feel so much better. If I don't have to, if I can just go and, but then you actually, for people who get the chance to experience those things, right? Let's say someone who's like, if I just get to live in India and just focus on my spiritual practices, and then they go to India and they're like, I can't connect. I can't figure it out. Because it's not about like giving up. It's not about like, this is a journey to discover how to best connect to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot be fake about it. We cannot accelerate the process. We just have to be patient and even understand that the moments where we want to give it all up, that will not satisfy us anyways. Yeah.
The grass is not greener anywhere, here nor there.
But you know, on those really hard days, do you ever have like give up fantasies where you're like, where is the place that you're going to move?
All the time.
What is the place that you're going to move to? And what is your occupation? Okay. So whenever I have like give up days where I just want to give up everything up, I'm like, I'm moving to French Polynesia in the middle of nowhere. And I'm going to be a whale watcher. And I'm just going to take people on whale watching tours. And that's going to be my life. And I'll be happy. Right? Like I go to that place.
That's so cute.
French Polynesia, where there's like nobody, no other islands around. And I'm just going to take people on whale watch tours.
Just very specific.
I know. Yeah, I love about this a lot.
Like most people, it's so cute because most people think run to the forest or in Arjuna's case, or like go to some secluded beach, but it's ambiguous.
Yeah. No, mine's very specific. I
love that. It's so great.
Wait, does anybody else want to share their runaway fantasy?
I don't think I've thought about it as deeply as you have.
What's the general? What's the gist of it?
Oh, you go first, Emily.
Oh, I mean, I can tell you as of lately, I've just been wanting to run away to a white sand beach and not have to deal with any of the heavy stuff I've been dealing with. So white sand beach is as far as I've thought of it. Okay. I'll think more.
What's your occupation? Like, what would you want to do?
No occupation is the...
Just lay there?
Lie there.
Okay.
I love it.
It's been too much.
That's true. That's really funny. Do you have one, Bria? Like, is there a place that you would live in a heartbeat? And then what is your occupation?
Okay, well, I don't have one because I
think I'm happy with my life and satisfied.
Wait, have you guys not had these bad days where you're like, okay, I'm going to start
every
my new life?
Day, but yeah. It just hasn't been a specific place and there's no occupation in this fantasy.
That's fair.
Also, like, I can't even think about what the better thing would be. I just think about how dreadful the situation is. Like, I'm just like, I want to not exist, but not like that, but more like I just want to lay here and breathe. Like, I don't even think like what would be better because I honestly don't think the grass is greener. So I don't know.
I'll give you an idea of where I've been at.
Yeah.
I got an MRI done last week. And when I was in the machine, I thought, finally, some peace.
that is so dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's so dark.
Is that a joke?
No, but it's like a sad, funny, like,
is that the comedic darkness of that is brilliant.
I mean, isn't that comedy is tragedy plus time?
Yeah, so. Yeah,
the fact that it was a week ago, it's like enough time to make a joke out of it.
I have another appointment this week that I'll be like, I'm back, my friend.
Like a 10, 15 minutes of peace.
It's 30 minutes.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
And I'm lying there thinking, it's all okay. It's all okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right, anyway, so the reason I asked it is a trick question. We should never give up our prescribed duties, okay?
And
so
she's like, gotcha.
I'm still trying to figure out what my prescribed duties are, so you know.
You don't know your prescribed duties. You don't know what your fantasy duties are.
I don't know
what
anything.
Are you doing here?
I don't know what I'm doing in this material world.
It's okay, it's okay.
I'm just kidding. But
we all have those days, man. But grass is never greener. We cannot give up our duties.
How does that feel, Priya? Or what's some words of wisdom from being now in this state of you're in a little limbo, right? Trying to figure out what are your prescribed duties, but you're not escaping. So word to the wise who want to be in your... or. Words of wisdom, not words to the wise. Words of wisdom to those who would like to be in your position. What would you tell us?
To who want to be in my position?
Many people want to give everything up and just not have anything to deal with. And you're in a position where you're trying to fight against that. You want to figure out what you're...
Well, okay. So how do I tell a little bit about my life? Okay. So I think I've had the opportunity to give up certain things in life.
Right.
And to get certain freedoms.
Mm.
And therefore I know what nothingness looks like.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
That's a cool way to put it.
And so because I know what nothingness looks like, and I know a lot of people think they want nothingness, but I've been in nothingness and it is really dark too.
Mm. Right.
And so knowing that nothingness is dark and knowing that like full on material life is hard too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, knowing that's why when you say like there's something that if I did out there I would be happier doing, I just know that's not true,
right?
For me personally, because I've had the nothing, like the sort of like sabbatical thing that people have. I've done that.
Yeah.
Right.
And it wasn't peaceful. Right. And it wasn't joyful. Maybe for like a week or two.
Totally.
But then after that, you start going, what is my existence for? What am I like, what am I doing? Yeah. What do I stand for? What do I? And then it's just
this heaviness, no?
Material life is not supposed to be pleasant.
Yeah.
And so even when you think it's going to be better, it just isn't. So that's why I think it's like, really just find where you can comfortably make money, mm-hmm. where you can be connected to your community, do service, and then just try to figure out you internally and your sadhana and all of that. Like that's just, you know, kind
good
of life.
Answer.
Do you want to work on my whale watching boat?
No. With love. With love.
Pardon? Pardon? Lo siento.
Okay. No, I mean, I think I would get tired of that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd get tired of it.
I think you
but
would
But I think
too.
I would because this material world is like no one's ever really, really happy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I love your answer and I was hoping you'd bring that something like that up because we've talked about that before who people like Jim Carrey has said before, I hope everyone can become rich and famous just so they can see that that's not it. That's not satisfying.
Yeah.
So even when you do have this, all this space that people who have the 9-to-5 jobs or whatever are craving, but it might be happy for a little, but not really.
Not forever. And so then therefore you got to make your life the best that you can in terms of what's fulfilling and like this podcast is fulfilling to me and all the other things I'm trying to do, but just understanding that Krishna has the ultimate plan.
Yeah.
And you just kind of follow and you just try to, you know, give into it and
that's
understand.
That's where faith comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And I think then trying to align your life with like, okay, if the overarching goal is as we said, as you've said, Priya, remember Krishna, never forget him. The goal of the Gita. How can I align all aspects of my life to support my goals? Yeah. Maybe I can try and if I'm trying to find a partner who will either walk the path with me or support my goals and be open to that. We talk so much about food. I'm going to eat food that will help clear my mind and not give me brain fog and not be able to focus. Like every aspect of our lives. Now the Gita has given us in all these previous 17 chapters that we finished, we know the goal. We know the steps. Now, what are we going to do? Is this going to be nice? We've covered the Gita and that's it. Or how can we align our lives in a very practical way so every facet of our lives support that singular goal?
And just know you're going to fail and it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And it's not as easy as it sounds because it's like so idealistic, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's align it. Let's make everything about Krishna. It's hard, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard and it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm failing?
It's just like, that's news to me.
No, but like, you know, we're not perfect. And I think people should give themselves grace.
Yes.
And then just, there's going to be downs. There's going to be ups.
Absolutely.
Cherish the ups.
Yeah.
And then be gentle with the downs and just keep going.
And there is something even almost, I would say, magical in the downs. Because in this time where I've have found relief in an MRI scan, I'd say it's a pretty down. But within that down, there's been little tiny, like, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but tiny moments of feeling like I could feel Krishna there guiding me. And that felt like, oh, it's like a little moment of like, oh, wow, that was really cool. And that kept me going. So it's hard, and it's magical also when you open yourself up to that reality of you're being guided moment to moment to moment. You're not alone. And when you can, for a second, feel that, it's quite special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could
beautifully said.
That was beautiful. Sorry. Could we do one more text real quick?
Yeah.
I think you'll finish the thought.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know who
text
was reading.
Text 18, whoever.
Priya.
Text 8?
Text 8.
Yeah.
Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. So it's kind of what we were just talking about, right?
Renunciation in the mode of passion. It's not... It's
just because you're uncomfortable, like not wanting to do the duty, just because you're afraid
or it sucks.
Which, you know,
Prabhupada explains even in the purport, if one in Krishna consciousness wants to give up earning money out of fear that he's performing fruitive activity, that's not the way to go. We can utilize everything we've been given in a bit of a more uplifting way. So earn a lot of money and then you can host retreats or donate some to a temple or whatever. But we shouldn't falsely renounce in the mode of passion.
Yeah. So I feel like that kind of sums up some of our thoughts. We I think we might have to end now.
Yeah. Please join us next time, amigos, on chapter 18, text number 9.
See you next time.
Bye. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Buenas noches. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.